I am complete as I am. Others simply support me. I am capable of balancing ease and effort in my life. I am allowed to feel good. I am allowed to ask for what I want and what I need. I alone hold the truth of who I am. I affirm and encourage others as I do myself. Every decision I make is supported by my whole experience. Changing my mind is a strength, not a weakness. Asking for help is a sign of self-respect and self-awareness. Hi guys, welcome back to the Ugly Truth, the podcast. I am your host, Jasmine. Thank you guys for joining me for yet another week. Here on the Ugly Truth, I created this podcast so we can talk about the ins and outs of developing self-love, the things that are not shined upon enough, and the ugly sides of it. Here is a space where women can be who they are, embrace who they are, and love who they are. Unapologetically. I hope everybody's having a great start of their June. June is going to be amazing for everybody, and I am sprinkling the God's glory on each and every last one of you guys. Now, this week, I do want to get into the topic of self-awareness. Being self-aware is very, very important and one of the first steps to self-healing and self-love and also self-care. So the definition of self-awareness, the dictionary's definition of self-awareness is conscious knowledge of one's character, feelings, motives, and desires. My definition of self-awareness is the ability to focus on yourself and your actions, your thoughts, or your emotions that do not or do align with your internal standards. So being self-aware can be something that's tough to even start because that's something where you have to look at you now. You know, we're used to looking at other people and their actions and what they do, that we forget that real healing and real love and real care for ourselves come from within. We have to look at the mistakes we've made, the things we've allowed that we know we shouldn't, the things that we settled for. We have to look at all those things, and even the things we've done to people that we know we shouldn't have done or said. We have to take a look at all of those things in order to become better. And that is very hard to do. I know for me, it was one of the hardest things to do. In my depression, part of my depression was because I was understanding where I went wrong. I was understanding that I did some horrible things, that I hurt someone. And that was very tough because, you know, when you have a good heart and you always mean good, it's hard to admit when you hurt someone. And for me, I just could not even accept that I had done those things. I couldn't accept that I wasn't a good listener. I couldn't accept that I was not very receptive of criticism or, you know, help from others, that it caused so much to spiral because of my poor actions that it led me to a very bad breakup. And it was very hard because it was a phase when, like, I had to understand, because we get so used to being the victim that I had to understand, okay, you're not the victim. Here's your part in the situation, and here's where you went wrong. And making that list, boy, oh boy, that list almost took me out because I just could not believe what I was seeing. And I think a part of that comes from me growing up and being spoiled and never being told that you are wrong or doing things wrong. that when you got an adult and other people were looking at you besides your mommy, dad, you know, they think you're perfect in their eyes. You're always going to be perfect in their eyes. But when you're around other humans and they're expressing to you, well, you've hurt them or you've done something wrong with them, it's hard to receive that. It's hard to receive that. So it took me a minute to open up my heart and to understand that, okay, this information is being brought to me to help me. They're not trying to hurt me. They're not trying to judge me. They're not trying to criticize me. They simply want to give me this information so that I could be better. And it took a while for me to calm down and understand why. People really do love you. They love you and they want you to be great. But you have to also be in a space, a headspace of receiving that information and understanding that it's here to help you, not hurt you. So what I did do for you guys that need help with your self-awareness, I made a list. I made a list and I want to share it with you guys on the steps on how you can become more self-aware. Remember, self-awareness is one of the keys to self-love, self-healing, and self-care. It comes a point in time when we have to stop pointing the finger and point them at ourselves. A lot of our actions, a lot of our growth, a lot of us evolving is going to come from self-work. We can only change ourselves. We can only do better ourselves. We can't worry about others' actions to help us grow. That's not going to help us grow. It's up to them and it's up to God to get them to a space. But in order for us to become better, we have to be open and receptive to being better. And that starts with self-awareness. Now, I do suggest asking yourself the questions of, you know, what am I feeling? What am I thinking? What am I doing? Understanding your path in life, understanding what road you want to take, understanding your passions, understanding the things that you don't like, you do like, understanding you, understanding your triggers, understanding what makes you happy, all of those things. And something that's very important, and I know it's very hard for some people to do because everybody didn't have a very good childhood, but going back into your childhood, understanding what happened during that childhood, realizing the happy moments you had in childhood, realizing the not so happy moments in childhood, realizing the things that made you who you are today that may have occurred in your childhood. That could be something simple as the lack of affection you may have gotten from your parents, or the lack of attention you may have gotten from your parents that caused you to act out or do different harmful things. And also even look for attention in others by accepting certain things and keeping people around longer than they should. All of that stuff plays a part. And if you look at the actual root of some of those things, it comes from your childhood. It comes from how you may have been treated during. It could be being treated as the most important person in the world, or it can be treated as somebody that was least important in your family. I know for me, I was very spoiled. I was treated like a princess. I felt like the world revolved around me because that's how my mom made it for me. So when I got older and understanding life lessons and life struggles and life obstacles, it was very hard for me to receive that stuff because I always had my mom to run to. I always had somebody that I know would fix everything for me and would do her best at it. So when it came a time where I got older and I had to learn to do those things for myself, I struggled with being in a space of understanding that, okay, Jasmine, you're grown. This is your life. it's time for you to fix it. So I had to learn, okay, that came from my childhood. My mom, she did everything. She was my captain saver. And now that I'm grown, I have to learn to do that for myself. I have to put in the work for myself. I don't have nobody to do that for me. So seeing where the root of your problems start from, even going back to see where your happy moments start from. I know one of my happy moments in my childhood will always be me and my sisters singing and dancing. We would literally have concerts. That was during a time where it was like 3LW, Destiny Child, Britney Spears, Ciara. And we would take turns. We have our own award shows and we would be these celebrities and we would have our performances. And those were one of the fun times for me where I felt happy and free and just able to live in the moment. So now I implement that in my adult life. Like my sisters, we have sisters night and they come over and, you know, we listen to our music. We do our duets still. And we dance and sing and go back to old songs that we used to listen to. And it just brings me so much good energy and good memories. And I even do it with myself. When I'm cooking or I'm cleaning, I turn on my music. I have my concerts. My kids join in. And it just, I love it. So that's something I took from my childhood that I realized made me very, very happy and made me feel free. And I do it now in my adulthood. And that's something that I will continue to do because that brings me happiness. When I'm having bad days, I know I can go listen to some music. I know I can go sing my heart out. And I'm not the best singer. Listen, God didn't give me a voice because, you know, if he gave me a voice, I would walk around singing all day. But I'm not the best singer, but to me, I sound good as hell, okay? So I sing. My kids even laugh at me sometimes, but it lightens up the moods. And I love that. That's something that I will always keep around. But let's get back to those five steps. You kind of got to ask yourself the question, like, do you know who you really are? Maybe a hard answer. Some of the answers may be yes. And the hard truth of no. I don't know who I really am. Once you realize if you do or you don't, then you can work from there. Okay, I do. But let's write down a list of the areas that I need to improve in. No, I don't know who I am. Let's figure out who I am. You can figure out who you are by doing things, doing different activities, trying new things, trying old things that you once tried, getting dressed up, going out, spending alone time with yourself, doing the things that you love. All of those things can play into knowing who you are, understanding your beliefs, knowing your passions, knowing what makes you happy, what don't make you happy. Start by writing out a list of those things. I think that is very, very important to knowing who you are and who you want to be. So step one, look at yourself. Self-reflect. I know looking at yourself can be one of the toughest things ever. It can be very difficult to look yourself in the mirror. But yet, it's the most rewarding process, I swear. To do some self-reflecting, here's some tools that will help you with that. You can write down a list of the things you are good at, the things you need to improve, and the things you are most proud of. Making that list will give you an insight on who you are, where are you trying to go, the things you need to let go, habits you need to form, habits you need to let go. Making that list is the number one thing to do with self-reflecting. Also, like I said, think about your childhood. Think about what happened back then and what changed and why. Then, find time to sit down each day and reflect on yourself as a leader. Whether you have younger brothers, older brothers or siblings, or children, or even your partner, do some self-reflecting on how you can be a better leader, whether that's in your workplace, your personal life, your businesses. That self-reflection will let you know what you need to improve in, what you need to improve in, not no one else. Self-awareness is simply for you and you evolving and growing. Number two, keep a journal. I'm going to say it again. Keep a journal. I have about 10 journals. I love gifting people with journals because I know journaling is a huge part in healing and self-growth and self-love and self-care. And I say that because journaling gives you a different outlet. Journaling gives you a safe outlet. There's no one reading it. There's no one listening. There's no one judging you. It's simply for you and your thoughts. So journaling at least twice a day, I would recommend when you get up in the morning, because you are freshly getting those thoughts out of your head, whether that's using a journal prompt, writing down a prayer, writing down a to-do list, whatever you need to empty out your mind to help you start your day with a clear mind. And at night, journaling at night gives you time to empty your mind from the thoughts you've had throughout the day, whether they were good, but good, whether you had a good day or a bad day. Where there's some things you're a little confused about and you've just been thinking about nonstop that you need to just release on pen and paper. Journaling is the key. Journaling also, I believe, keeps down a lot of confusion with you and relationships, friendships, partnerships, businesses, all types of relationships. Journaling that stuff before speaking with someone can be a very important key because journaling gives you the time to process your thoughts, to think on those thoughts, to think about a great approach that whoever you need to talk to will be able to receive what you're saying, to give you time to release all of those horrible emotions so that when you do approach them, you're not coming off in a bad way. You know, tone and how you talk, tone and how you present yourself to people is very important. If you want them to receive you and understand you, you have to watch what you say and how you say it. So get a journal. Number three, practice meditation and other mindful habits. I am big on meditation. Meditation has changed my life in ways that I could never express. It has helped my anxiety. It has helped me become more present. Because meditation is basically a practice for you improving your mindful awareness. It's a moment of peaceful reflection that will help you find clarity. So being in that space, in that quiet space, even if it's for 10 minutes, to 15 minutes, however long you need. Being in that space of quietness, allowing your mind to rest, allowing your body and your heart to rest, and be at a place of peacefulness and calmness, it helps your day so much. Meditation, yoga, even if you take a walk or a run, or just a breathing exercise to position yourself to be at a good space. I think that is very, very important to self-awareness because it gives you time to think and be. We're constantly running, that we don't have time to actually sit and just be. So meditation, I will also recommend doing that at least once or twice a day. Again, if meditation is not your thing, it's different other practices. Like I said, it's breathing, yoga, stretching, walking, taking a walk. Some people exercise. Just getting yourself in that mindset of just being. And last but not least, ask for feedback. Do not be afraid to ask for feedback. Do not be afraid to ask your friends, your family, your partner, even your children for feedback. Hey, how can I improve in these areas? Or hey, have you seen something that I've lacked and you feel like I can do more of? Or hey, you know, I've been trying this out and I don't know if you noticed, but if you have noticed, how do you think that is? Simple questions. But remember, feedback is one of the hardest things for people to receive. And that's only because you have to put yourself in the mindset of understanding the feedback is to help, not harm. These people love you. These people want you to be great. So the feedback is to help you, not harm you. And even people giving feedback is hard. So let reassuring whoever you're asking for feedback, hey, I'm asking you this because I am trying to improve in life and I want to keep growing. And I need your truth. I need your real answer. And no, I will not take it in an offensive way. Giving people that space to understand, like, hey, if I have a problem with this person, I know I can go tell them. That is very, very important, okay? Never make someone feel like they can't come to you. And that's something that I'm working on because that's something that I've lacked. Not being able to take criticism and feel like I was being judged versus understanding that the things that are being brought to my attention are to help me, not harm me. Now, I'm not going to lie. Everybody don't bring peace. Everybody's not looking to see you grow. But you know who is and who's not. You know by their approach. You know by the things they're saying. So don't be afraid to ask for feedback. Seeing how others view you is very, very important because you can't see it. So to know how they view you, how they receive you and your energy and your love will be an amazing key to becoming better and more self-aware of your actions. So I really hope all of my tips help you guys with learning to be more self-aware. Remember, self-awareness is very, very important. It's the key to a better life. It's the key to happiness. And I want us all to be in a space of receiving and being more self-aware. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. You know, I enjoy it so much talking with you guys. Please don't forget to rate and review. I love seeing the reviews on anything I can improve in or anything you want to hear me talk about. Or just a review of, hey girl, I love this podcast. I am very appreciative of it all. But you guys have a great rest of your week. I pray God's glory shine upon each and every last one of you throughout this week. I pray for blessings. I pray for peace. I pray for more room for growth. And I pray for happiness for every last one of us. You guys have a great rest of your week.